Have you ever heard entrepreneurs say that the first million is the hardest to make? Well, for gym owners, the hardest milestone is getting to a consistent $30,000 a month without everything breaking. Here's why. Most workshops, events, coaching programs, they'll teach you how to grow from 10 to 20,000 a month. But those early stage tactics, they start to break when you approach 20 to $25,000 a month. Your workload increases, your staff issues start popping up, retention becomes unstable. And instead of continued growth, you move backwards and you start climbing that same hill over and over again. Listen, gym owners, it's not your fault. It's not your ability to sell, and it's not the lead quality. And the answer just isn't to hustle harder. It's because the systems that you are taught were designed to gain early stage traction and not for scale. And here's another uncomfortable truth, guys. Most gurus teaching you how to grow up never actually owned, operated, and scaled a training gym from $10,000 to $80,000 a month. But guess what, guys? We have, and this month we're pulling back the curtain. We're inviting 15 gym owners into our own training facility right here in Scottsdale, Arizona for a hands-on private workshop. At this event, we'll walk you through the $1 Million Gym Ascension System, a scale-based operating manual that shows you what to focus on at $10,000 a month, what must change at $20,000 a month, why most gyms stall before they hit $30,000 a month, and the exact systems required to scale from $30,000 to $80,000 a month. If your gym's doing okay but feels capped, if you've been investing in coaches before but you quickly scaled past what those mentors were teaching you, and if you're looking for the next system to skyrocket growth, well, guess what, guys? This workshop was built specifically for you. Head on over to mdm.gymbusinesscoach.com. Guys, that's mdm.gymbusinesscoach.com to reserve your spot now. Come see the systems, the standards, and the flow of a true $1 Million training gym in action and unlock the secrets to uncapped growth. We'll see you there.
You are listening to the Built to Grow podcast, delivering the knowledge in all things fitness business. We help gym owners win. Here are your hosts, Tim Lyons and Randy Engston.
Welcome back to another fresh episode of the Built to Grow podcast. I'm going to be your host today, Randy Engston, joined with Zach Columbia.
Fresh.
To death.
I know what Randy's going to say next. He's going to say, we got a good one for you today.
We've got a great one for you today.
You always say we have a good one for
because
you.
Because we have good ones.
We used to have this client here. He used to say, you'd be like, great workout today. And he's like, do you ever just say mediocre workout today? Like it's okay. I know I came in, I had a mediocre workout. It's fine. He was so funny. Tim always says, like, people laugh because he's like, you have clients. They, of course, you're gonna have cancels. People die. Well, he actually did die. So,
Oh, yeah.
But we have
exactly
we,
what you're talking about.
We've got
he
a good
a
one.
Guy.
We've
he
got,
was
we,
a great guy.
We've got a mediocre one for you today.
No, this is an important one because, you know, staff buy-in, having a team that understands the mission, the vision, what they're here for beyond just, you know, checking a box and showing up for a workout type of thing. And we see it a lot with gyms and their structure and how they coach and how they lead and things like that. And there's a differentiator between the gyms that have, you know, a whole team moving in one direction together versus trying to wrangle cats on the other side of the, you know, the coin. And one of the things that we are big believers is your coaches should have responsibilities that go beyond the 1 hour training or 50-minute, 45-minute training session in order to continue to deliver a result for both the client or the business. Why don't you take the lead on this and just kind of let's kind of break down how we structure our schedule with our coaches, you know, here at Legacy, because I think that gives a little bit of a understanding of how others can do it and do it in a way where it's not just an expectation on the coach to go to figure it out themselves. Like, you guys almost force it with intentionality.
Yeah, because it's the only way to really create the buy-in. So, you know, it's like, do you have a team or do you have employees?
And there's
a big difference. You know, like, a team has a collective mission, a collective goal. Everybody's bought into that. Employees are just going to show up, punch the clock, and they don't care about your business at all. They care about their paycheck.
There you go.
Huge difference. And, you know, in the quality that you get, the It's just totally different, right? You can't even compare the two. So with us, it's very simple, okay? And so before I even lay this out for you, I know you're going to listen to this and be like, that doesn't work for me. Okay, well, just hear me out before you block me out. So we have four full-time coaches, essentially. And that's our team director, four full-time coaches. We have two in the morning, two in the afternoon. The morning crew opens at 5. They train till noon. Afternoon crew trains at 1 and closes, trains till 7 p.m. And at noon, we have overlap. So at noon, there's no training going on from noon to 1 in our facility. So morning crew's done with the training. Afternoon crew is getting ready to train. And we have team meetings. We create content. We do continuing education together. We work out together. We do a team clean. And it's all on a specific cadence throughout the week, right? So 4 days a week, we're together as a team, driving that team dynamic, the mission, the vision of the business. They're contributing to it. Like, there's all these things that go into it. And so if you think about our industry, for the typical trainer, a full-time schedule doesn't exist.
Sure.
It's uncommon. It's not the norm. Most of the time it's like a trainer has, you know, maybe they train 4 hours and part-time, and then they go, you know, walk dogs, dog sit, and then they bartend at night or something. And that's like their jobs.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's like, how could somebody be bought into your mission, your business? How could they share it as their mission and vision if they're going and doing that and they're working at multiple places? And it's never going to happen, right? Yeah. It's never going to happen. Because they just can't, right? They can't afford to be invested in your business or share in that, because they don't see they can't afford it. And they also probably aren't with you long enough to
see it. It's like toe in the water, right? Like they barely have a taste of what it all takes and what it all is about. You know, they're there for a limited amount of time. And then again, yeah, to your point, I mean, they just don't have the buy-in. They don't have the opportunity to have the buy-in because they've got enough on their plate elsewhere that it just keep preventing them from going all in one.
Yeah, and there's a lot of these like class-based facilities out there where they bring a instructor in, a trainer in to run a couple of classes, and then that person's out. And, you know, if all I have to do is show up and run a class for a couple hours, you know, one, as a business, how do you have any sort of brand control over that? How are you controlling the delivery? How is that your product? You know, how are you developing that staff member, that coach to deliver your product? Do they even understand it? Do they care? Or are they just designing a workout for the day and they come in and run their own thing? And then, or even they run your thing, but they deliver it a different way than another instructor delivers it. And now you have a portion of your client, you segmented your clients. And so only some of them will come to a certain class because they like this instructor and they won't come to this one. And so now it's inconvenient for them because you're thinking about these hours that you have available, like, oh, this is my class schedule. But to your client, they're like, well, I can only go to these four classes because that's when Johnny coaches.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that is not a sustainable business model. And then what happens when Johnny leaves because he's not invested in your business whatsoever, and he's going to take the very next thing, or he's going to go maybe not even train anymore, just get another dog sitting gig and he's doing that instead, or he's, you know, he's bartending at night and you got him training first thing in the morning and he's tired and not showing up and his performance starts to diminish. And now, you know, you just see this. I'm just going on and ranting about it, but it's like, this creates so many problems for you.
Well,
so many problems.
Not to cut you off, but to just kind of elaborate on that.
Please cut me off.
The that is a problem that you as an owner have kind of created in the business by not formalizing a better system, right? You kind of laid out our structure. You said, you know, many of you might say that this won't work for you. Well, it absolutely will work for you, but it might not work today. And that's the thing is like this, that the structure of our team and things like that is what you as a gym owner should be striving for. That should be the goal and the mission to get to a business that has that type of structure. It might not be possible today with your expenses and you know, how many coaches you have on the team right now and things like that, but it is a phased approach. You can absolutely get there. This is something that we talk about a lot in our coaching program is like, when is it right to hire the next coach? When should I bring on the next person? you know, and then obviously the roles and responsibilities that the coach has. We know gyms that their coaches are responsible for sales. We also know that historically that's probably not their strong suit, yeah. Right? Needs of the business
they're
have to
not,
be met.
They didn't become a coach because they want to sell.
Right? Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. I mean, even to you as the gym owner, you might feel the same way. But the second you put your name on the business and you decide to open up a business, somebody has to do that role and responsibility, and ultimately it rolls up to you as the owner. If that's not something you enjoy, don't just put your coaches in that responsibility and expect, you know, that they're going to deliver that portion of the their job and responsibilities to the best of what they can. They're not naturally built to sell, you know what I mean? And so, but with that being said, it is a phased approach. Look at your schedule, look at your opportunities. One, I couldn't agree more when you said, you know, there needs to be a brand standard. There needs to be a brand-owned program. Having coaches come in to facilitate whatever they want to do, I think is always putting a business at risk for when that coach turns over. So are those clients. And I think the first thing that you should be doing ultimately, if you have one other team member or many, is the brand has to own that programming and has to own the delivery of the client results. And it has to be clear and understood, right? Another big nod for semi-private pro. Our clients know that Legacy Personal Training owns the programming. The coaches are facilitating that programming. If your business isn't run that same way, that could be your first step, you know?
Imagine a place where growth is the only option and where challenges become opportunities. Welcome to the Iron Circle, the epitome of business acceleration, personal growth, and professional camaraderie. Across the country, from every corner of the fitness industry, business owners just like you have found their tribe.
And when you really think about putting these 30 heads together, it was probably 200-300 years of gym owner experience.
Here, we dream big and execute bigger. Our members speak of breakthroughs, of transformations, of stepping out of their comfort zones to redefine success.
We just had our highest month ever since almost 7 years in business. We're close to $46,000.
We've turned isolation into community, uncertainty into solid action plans, and struggles into growth.
We can attract those prospects, convert them to clients, have them raving about the experience of your services, even referring other clients, all while you're sleeping.
And for you to get the support and the knowledge and the experience to just accelerate up and beyond that, that's the ultimate hack.
Because together, we are more than gym owners. We are visionaries. We are pioneers. We are the Iron Circle.
Visit ironcircle.net to apply.
Hey guys, Tim here, and I'm going to tell you how you can get all of my training programs for free. That's right, it's part of our new 12-month coaching program called Springboard, and it's designed to help gym owners who are stuck between $8,000 and $25,000 a month grow to $30,000 in stable recurring revenue. To see how Springboard can help your gym and to see which one of my training programs you get for free, visit gymownercoach.com. That's right, gymownercoach.com for more information. Now let's get into the show.
Yeah, so it is challenging for somebody to, it's like, where do I start? You know, how do I get to a point where I get what you're saying? How do I have the staff that's full time and all that? So, you know, what you want to do is, let's say you have it kind of scattered. So meaning you're running the business, and then you have five different coaches that are coming in at different times and filling up. Well, what you do is you go to those five coaches, you rank them, right? And you go to the one that you want to be the full-time person first, and you just work your way down the hierarchy, and you present an opportunity to them to take on more hours and more responsibilities. And if they're, you know, the first one or the first two, they might not be bought into it. Sure. They might like him and haw around and I don't know if that's really what I want or whatever, but you're going to find within that list of five, there's going to be somebody that's like, yeah, that sounds great. I would love to, you know, be part of that. Well, that's, even if that's not the best coach in the world, the fact that they are bought into this direction that you're heading, man, you can develop that person.
There you go.
Right? They're bought into the mission and the vision. Now it's like, okay, well, what let's do a gap analysis, figure out what we got to train them in, what we got to develop in. But the fact that they are just bought into it is going to be massive. And now it's like, okay, well, you know, maybe that person's working 16 hours a week, but like I can move them to 32 and they're going to be bought into this, man. And then we can continue to develop it from there. And now because I have this person who's bought in, I can eliminate those two people and I just simplified things exponentially. I got the buy-in and now I can go hire somebody else, you know, potentially to fill some gaps that's coming in with this new structure, this new culture that's in place, and don't mess up the opportunity to bring somebody in that's new, that doesn't know any different, and get them bought into the mission and the vision. Like you're hiring to that.
There you go.
That's part of your hiring and onboarding process is like, here's how we operate. Here's how we roll. And if you don't have like, oh, well, I'm bringing that new person in and they're going to be part-time. Great. Outline the trajectory and the path for them. Don't lie to them. Just tell them, hey, we're going to bring you on. You're going to be at 20 hours a week. Here's our plan over the course of the next 6 months, 12 months, whatever, to develop you into a full-time coach. And then you have to take some accountability on that because now you just put the pressure on yourself to grow them into that, you know, role, but they're coming in and accepting the position knowing that that's the trajectory of their career. And as long as you fulfill on that and communicate with them, they're going to be bought in right from the get go.
There you go. Yeah. One thing we've talked about in the past, I don't remember if it was you and I or Tim and I on the episode, but you hire for the position that's needed, not hire the candidate and then figure out how they fit into your business. And I think we see that as like a commonality in this industry, right? Your schedule for your business is dictated upon your coach's availability because you hired the coach before knowing their availability. You know what I mean? Like if you go into any other industry in probably the world, right? Like
maybe not serving, but the only one, right?
But even at that, like, you know, here's the hours I need you. It's not just what, you know, like I need somebody to work the dinner shift, right? Like it's not like, hey, cool, you're a great server. When can I, when am I going to serve food in my industry or in my restaurant? Right. But in this industry, trainers or gym owners quite often. And I think a lot of it comes from a place of desperation, right? We need a body.
Yeah.
Totally understand that. But if the body doesn't fix the problem and it creates more problems, it's probably not the right decision to make. So first and foremost, obviously know when you want your coaches in the business, the people that are applying for those positions, that's a first requirement, right? If you can't be here for these hours, I appreciate your application, but you're not the right fit for our business right now. That could change, you know, over time. But right now I need somebody to work these hours first and foremost. And so that's obviously a huge thing about hiring. Another thing that we've discussed over the years, and there's been a big transition, you know, through legacy over the years with resume type performance versus, you know, like having somebody in for a, what do you guys call them when they do like a part of the interview process?
Practical.
Yeah, practical, right?
Yeah.
You know, somebody, just because somebody has all of the certifications, they could have college degrees, they could have all, you know, with distinctions and all of that type of thing. But then you get them on the training floor and they have no personality. They have no communication skills. They have none of the other things that it takes in order to be a great coach. Take us through kind of how you guys, you know, left and right when it comes to bringing in somebody who's qualified for the job on paper, but then also has to perform the job when it comes to, you know, being a well-rounded coach.
Well, I'll just circle back to one of the things that you said is, you know, the availability. Well, same thing for the job responsibilities. So you might get some, you might get a candidate and you look at their resume and you interview them and you're like, man, they can do these 15 things, but you're looking to hire a coach, right? If you guys have ever had a client, you bring on a client, you do a consultation with a client and the clients, you know, you have really good rapport with them and they're talking and they're like, I've got so many friends that I'm going to bring here. This is so amazing. And you're like, wow, that's incredible. And it never happens. Never, they never bring a single person in. They were just a big talker, right?
Give me a discount.
Give me a discount, and then I'll bring, And you're like, okay, yeah. And then like 4 years later, you're like, yo, can we get a referral? and so it's like you're setting yourself up for disappointment if you do that. Same exact thing if you get this candidate, this coach, and they've got like this, you know, oh man, I could leverage them for this responsibility in my business and they could do this in my business. And like, but all you were looking for was a coach. Don't change the position yet.
Yeah, there you go.
Hire them for the position they applied for at the pay rate that they applied for. Develop them, onboard them, make them prove themselves, and then maybe if there's the business need. So many times, and a simple example of this is like, oh man, this guy's really great with recovery. Let's add a recovery class. Great. What happens in 3 months when you added that recovery class and this guy doesn't work out, and now you got to take that class away from your members and there's nobody to fulfill on it.
Mm-hmm.
Major negative for your clients that were like, and it's probably like the five clients that were bought into this. Yeah. And then now it's, you know, oh, nobody was showing up anyway. And there were only five people. And then you take it away and somebody that wasn't even coming to the class is mad about it. And, you know, boom. Like, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're tossing bombs into the business.
I know. Yeah. Exactly. So I get going because I just know that all these things have happened, right? If you see them. So what was the original thing that you asked me?
I don't know. I just went back to the problem being created.
You asked us like our hiring process here. So,
imagine a place where growth is the only option and where challenges become opportunities. Welcome to the Iron Circle, the epitome of business acceleration, personal growth, and professional camaraderie. Across the country, from every corner of the fitness industry, business owners just like you have found their tribe.
And when you really think about putting these 30 heads together, it was probably 200-300 years of gym owner experience.
Here, we dream big and execute bigger. Our members speak of breakthroughs, of transformations, of stepping out of their comfort zones to redefine success.
We just had our highest month ever since almost 7 years in business. We're close to $46,000.
We've turned isolation into community, uncertainty into solid action plans, and struggles into growth.
We can attract those prospects, convert them to clients, have them raving about the experience of your services, even referring other clients, all while you're sleeping.
And for you to get the support and the knowledge and the experience to just accelerate up and beyond that, that's the ultimate hack.
Because together, we are more than gym owners. We are visionaries. We are pioneers. We are the Iron Circle.
Visit ironcircle.net to apply.
We will always hire soft skills before hard skills, right? Like EQ before IQ. Because we can develop and teach the training methodology, we can teach that.
Yeah.
We have a coach with us right now who's younger, did not have any real training experience before we hired him, and went to school, got his BS and BS, his bachelor's in exercise science, and came in, and it's interesting because like, okay, has the foundational knowledge, but not the experience.
Sure.
So good kid, but also lacking in some of the EQ stuff because he's young, right? So it's like, okay, well, we have to develop that, but there's a lot of good there. We just do a gap analysis and we're like, okay, here's the things that we know are going to come up. He might not know how to respond to a customer complaint, right? Like somebody brings something negative up. We need to coach him on how to respond to that. And my mistake, like I didn't, and it did happen. And then here was the, you know, we have this issue where that revealed itself and he didn't respond the way that he needed to respond. So that's on me as a leader. Like I should have been prepared for that. And then I got to go and coach him. Hey, if this comes up, here's how you respond to it. You messed this up with this person. But the response from him, because he is the right person for the role, is like, dude, you're right. I'm so sorry. Like I messed this up. That will never happen again. I got it. Here's how I do handle this situation. Awesome. Cool. Good job, man. Fist bump. Keep doing what you're doing. Just go get better. Okay. Go. Awesome. Cool. So, you know, there's this give and take. But like, if you're super nerdy and you're just all about the training and the fitness, usually you're not about helping people or connecting with people. You're about the fitness.
Sure.
And so what drives you, we talk about the passionate gym owner a lot of times, like, oh, you want to help people. Well, sometimes there's people in this industry that they don't care about helping people. They nerd out on the science of it.
Yes.
They're very theoretical. And like that, there's going to be a major problem hiring that person in your business because it's going to be all about the science and the methodology and all of these things versus like, hey, that person, you know, just needs to show up and get some encouragement and then they need to be leave feeling inspired to come back tomorrow. They don't care about their, you know, knee flexion or whatever. It's like, yeah, it's great that you know that, but if you can't make sure that they have a great experience while they're here, they're not coming back regardless.
Yeah.
So there needs to be this right blend. And you mentioned our practical. So we always have the coaches. I've had great interviews with people that do have the emotional intelligence and they can connect and they can build rapport with you. But then we do the practical, which is like, hey, you got to come and train the training team and they could be terrible. And it's like, I'm not going to hire that person because that there's too big of a learning curve for me to develop you. And so it's like, nah, we'll just go to the next candidate. So there is this fine line, right? Sure. It's like, you got to have some sort of foundation. You got to have the right, you know, you could excel in one and be lacking in the other. And then we're analyzing like, okay, what's it going to take to get both to the level we want it at?
Perfect.
Essentially.
Yeah. Anything else that you feel, because it is a difficult position, right? Hiring in this industry, obviously we know, you know, the average coach in the industry is spending about 12 months out on average, right? So it's difficult when you as a business want to develop and you want to pour in skills, you want to do all of that type of thing. And then the coach 8 months into the training floor is already thinking about what's coming next for their personal life and their next job or their next career, whatever it may be. But when it comes to bringing in good qualified candidates, and being able to develop them back to the schedule that we create, right? We force a form of growth through the schedule. One of the things I just kind of wanted to leave, if you aren't having, one of the big things right there is team meetings, check-ins, regular check-ins with coaches, that type of thing. Take us through kind of like, because I know obviously the system for our team meetings and how that's done. But even the way a team meeting is conducted, kind of just give a glimpse into that so that others can kind of pull from that when it comes to what does a team meeting look like? What should it look like so that I know it's not just, hey, we need to make more money this week or this month, right? We need more leads, right?
Yeah.
But what is the path for development when it comes to the opportunity, the times that we have available for our coaches to really receive that.
Yeah. So like, you know, I mentioned we do these different things throughout the week. We have our team meetings on Monday because it's logical to do them on Monday. And so we get the team together. We kick things off with just like a weekend recap. You know, how was everybody's weekend? What'd you do? Share with the group. Maybe we do some props, like some recognition to some staff that did something really cool last week. And then we'll talk about client issues. We'll talk about new clients. We'll talk about anything that's really something we want to celebrate with clients. And then we always, and I'm just giving you the abbreviated version. We always have some sort of like training that goes back to, one of our core values or standard items. So that's always like, okay, we got a weekly gym focus, and this week it is team first. How are you, you know, that's one of our core values, to put the team first above everything that you do. So how are we going to execute on that? What does that mean to everybody? Like, how are you going to live that this week? So that's that framework, right? And we do our podcast, we do continuing education, we do team workouts led by a different, you know, coach each week. But we have, so Jolie has taken over a lot of my like director responsibilities here, and I'm just more like overseeing her. And one of the things in training her, or kind of passing off the baton to her, as I said, it has taken me years to develop the team culture to where it is today. Protect that.
There you go.
You are not going to just end up with like a perfect team culture. It's going to take iterations of your team. And so, like, you know, I think we've had different teams here. I've said it numerous times in team meetings where it's like, our team's complete. Like, we've got a really great team. And then of course, like, you lose a coach, you have some turnover, you lose two coaches, and you bring a couple new ones in, and you onboard them and you train them. And then it's like, oh, the team's whole again. And that's a different iteration of your team. And every single iteration of that, which totally blows, by the way, to have like turnover and to go through this process again. But every single time that you do that, it's like, how can I instill more of the culture and the team dynamic and the buy-in with this new iteration of the team? And so we've gotten to a point where I would say it's really at its like pinnacle of every single coach is just like, they know the assignment. They get it, man. They're bought in. They know what we're trying to accomplish here. And they go and they fulfill on that, and they think outside the box. They're not like stuck within this, like, here's my job responsibilities, I'm going to do it. It's like, no, like, what does the business need? Like, mm-hmm. Not just like, I got to punch the clock and do these checklist items. It's like, no, like, I got to punch the clock and do these check-in items, and I got to move the business forward, and I need to go the extra mile, and I need to spend some extra time with this client, and when you have a whole team that has that culture and they're bought into the mission and they recognize like, man, this doesn't exist in the industry. Like, we have, like, this is not the norm. This is not what it looks like in other businesses, other training facilities. Like, this is the bee's knees, man. This is where it's at. I'm not going to leave. This is phenomenal. So that's really what you're shooting for, ultimately. But again, it's taken years of fix this. Okay, onboard the staff into that. Ah, that was an issue. Fix that. Onboard the staff. Don't hire that person because you hired that last person and they had that personality trait or that characteristic, and you know how big of a negative and hassle that was for you and how it impacted your other staff members. So like, I'm not going to hire that candidate. I'm going to hire that candidate. So, you know, some of it you just learn from experience, time but like hell. You just, yeah. You continue to get better and fix things as you go.
Awesome. Well, obviously our goal for this episode was for you to look at the staff, how to get that buy-in, how to move forward with a team that all sees the vision, that's all working together for the common cause and the needs of the business, not just the result of a client or a great workout, or maybe even a great program. Take that, obviously use it, implement it, think about that the next time you're looking to hire or the next time you're recreating or trying to create your staff structure and schedule and hours of operation and all of it. Ultimately, we want to see you win. There is some, an onus of you as the owner to develop even after they're hired, right? Continually coach, continually educate them on both the IQ side and the performance when it comes to the program and the delivery there, but also the EQ side. How, you know, are they making sure that the clients are enjoying their time here? They're excited to come back. They enjoyed, you know, the, not only the workout and got a result, but they enjoyed the time that they spent in the four walls of your business. So with that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Built to Grow. We'll see you in the next episode.
All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Built to Grow podcast. If you want more help growing your business, join our free Facebook group, Profit Accelerator, helping training gyms grow to $30,000 a month and beyond. We'd love to see you there. Go check out the show notes for the link and keep building something great. And we'll see you in the next episode.